Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com. Did you know that half of America is single? Hollywood has never produced anything like this before. The Dating Project, a groundbreaking documentary that follows five single people, ages 18 to 40, as they search for authentic and meaningful relationships. There is no script. There are no actors. These are real people trying to find love and happiness in an age of swiping left or right. From Empower Pictures, Paulus Productions, Family Theater Productions, and PureFlix, you can now own The Dating Project. Save the date by visiting thedatingprojectmovie.com and go a step further and help others in your circle date differently by partnering with Ascension Press. Visit shop.ascensionpress.com to acquire the companion study guide. The Dating Project movie is now available on DVD and digital download on Amazon, iTunes, and Walmart. Please visit thedatingprojectmovie.com for details.
In this audiocast number 17, I become a feminist. Just one, sit back two, and
three. Listen.
If you're willing to talk, Father Leo is willing to listen. Get ready for a deliciously deep discussion of Shoot the Shiitake with Father Leo.
And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, your host, Father Leo. It is going to be a different kind of show altogether, because why? I can do whatever I want. And this show is going to be not with someone who is outside of the Catholic Church, but definitely different from my worldview and my experience, simply because I am not a woman. And that's pretty obvious, but the fact is, I usually interview people who are not necessarily connected to the Catholic Church or people who are outside of the church's opinions and views. And so this show is going to be a little different. And why? Because not only am I interviewing someone who is in the Catholic Church, but she is so into the Catholic faith. She's in fact a speaker. You're going to hear all about her. Her name is Emily Wilson. And this is going to be a little different of a show for another reason, because I'm actually letting you all know, our general listeners, hear what a extended content for premium sponsors sounds like. It's basically another half hour of interviews, but instead of people with controversial topics, this one is going to be with something that's very Catholic, very Christian. So for those who support the Shoot the Shiitake movement with just simply $10 or more, this is the kind of show that you're going to be getting. Another half hour interview, kind of deeper dish discussion, and I call it Learning from Leftovers. And for this show in particular, I'm so glad that we are going to be talking about women, because it is different from a worldview, and you're going to hear how the Catholic Church is not just a bunch of, you know, old stuffy men. In fact, you'll hear how the Catholic Church celebrates and honors women, and make sure you stick around after Emily Wilson's interview with me, because I'm going to show you or share with you my carryout order, what I learned about this interview in regards to women and feminism. But for this little amuse-bouche, basically I just want to share with you a little spiritual story here. It says, in the beginning, God created the earth and rested. Then God created man and rested. Then God created woman. Since then, neither God nor man has rested. Ba-dum-bum. All right, here's another one for a little amuse-bouche and appetizer for this interview. Why do men die before their wives? The answer, they want to. gosh. This is miserable. And here's another one, and a final one here. The young son says, "Is it true, Dad? I heard that in some parts of Africa, a man doesn't know his wife until he marries her." The dad says, "That happens in every country, son." I love it. And you might think that these jokes are chauvinistic, and they might be. But we'll have to hear about it, because feminism and the feminist movement is a lot bigger than I thought, so that when we return for this deep dish discussion, but this is actually a deeper dish discussion, learning from leftovers, you, the general listeners, are going to hear what sponsors receive each week in their mailbox, this learning from leftovers, and that's why I am proud to share with you this interview with Emily Wilson. So stick around for more Shoot the Shiitake and this deeper dish discussion when we return. And this episode is brought to you by Catholic Speakers Organization, where you can book Catholic speakers and musicians and presenters for your parish or your organization. They've got a variety of just the best speakers and musicians ever. And I'm proud to say that you can also find me there. If you want to book me for an event, just go to fatherleofeeds.com, or you could also book other presenters and musicians at CatholicSpeakers.com, and I guarantee you, you will be inspired what they have to offer, basically because I've used them for some of my events as well. So if you want a professional experience in booking your next Catholic speaker musician, once again, go to CatholicSpeakers.com. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake for a deep dish discussion here, learning from leftovers. And I have got Emily Wilson of EmilyWilson.com.
Actually, it's Emily Wilson Ministries.
Emily Wilson Ministries.
If they want to find me, find my stuff.
Ministries.
Ministries, plural.
Plural, because mm-hmm. she does a whole bunch of different things. But I want to tell you, I want to find out what they all are, because mm-hmm. you are a speaker as mm-hmm. far as I know.
Totally.
But you're a musician.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got some pretty cool people in your life.
That's true.
And including your husband.
My husband is a very cool guy. And
from Holland.
Yes, my husband is from the Netherlands, which is a great little country that I knew nothing about before I met my husband in the country. Funny how things work that way.
And so let's just talk about what Emily Wilson Ministries is all about.
Yeah, absolutely. So my heart is for women. And my heart is that women would come to understand who they are and who God created them to be and the strength of their femininity. So I have a YouTube channel where I make videos that are really down to earth and practical. Okay, if I'm a young woman in the world today, how can I live my faith?
Uh-huh.
As a Christian or as a Catholic, there
Why do you think you even need to have a ministry to women? I mean, what's the challenge that women are facing?
Oh, my goodness. I mean,
just tell me.
As we know, the lies that women are being fed about where their identity lies in their appearance, in their, you know, in their social status, in their roles, in their jobs, all these different kinds of things. The world is telling them that women, their identity is in all of those things.
Yeah, but okay, hold on a second, Emily. This is going to sound horrible.
Okay.
But, like, you're really pretty.
I appreciate that very much.
And you are, like, super fashionable.
Yes, I try to be.
So it's kind of easy for you to say that, but I mean...
Right? But the reality is that we are all created in the image and likeness of God, right?
Okay.
Whatever I look like as a woman, whatever all the women that I speak to look like, we're created in the image and likeness of God. And
so you help women feel beautiful?
Well, not necessarily.
You one of those, you're good enough, you're smart enough?
I'm trying to change the culture of women's ministry.
I love this.
In the world.
Keep telling me.
Because I don't like the whole fluffy, I'm a daughter of the king and all this stuff, and I'm going to wave my wand. I want women to understand the strength of their identity as daughter of God.
Okay.
I want women to embrace modesty, not for men, but for themselves, to reflect outwardly. I belong to God.
Where did you get all this, like, zeal for, like, real womanhood? And then we're going to talk about femininity, or feminism, too.
When I was at Arizona State University, I saw brokenness that you could never even imagine in the women and their hearts. And that is where my heart for women came in. And then I read John Paul II's on the dignity and vocation of women. And the Lord told me right then and there, he said, your life will never be the same.
Oh, so thank God for Mulieris Dignitatis,
yes.
Where he basically called women geniuses.
Yes,
and that
exactly.
was exactly why you were like, I'm a genius.
And I thought women need to know the reality of this stuff and how it can change their lives.
What was it about it that just made you want to, like,
proclaim it and now preach it, because that's kind of what you are, right? Yes. You're a preacher.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
So what was it about that document?
The depth of it, the depth of the reality of our vocation, not, you know, big V vocation, but our vocation as women to nurture the world is so incredible and deep, but women don't really understand that reality of our nurturing tenderness. Edith Stein said, Mary was the perfect combination of fierceness and tenderness all at the same time. Mm-hmm. And that's what we are, as women, are designed to be, the perfect combination of fierce and tender. And John Paul, I think, so portrays that in his description of women nurturing the world with that fierceness, with that tenderness, and with that strength.
How are you fierce and how are you tender?
I'm fierce because I real talk, right? I was raised in Los Angeles.
Wait a minute. You was like, when you were giving your talk today, we were like teasing you because, like, who uses the word Sally?
Hey, I met a girl named Sally at the conference today. I did. She said, my name is Sally. And I said, that's like, not wow, what I hear every day. But, you know, in LA, you can't cut corners, right? There's no really niceties. You got to grow up with some grit.
And that's what we're going to do is kind of jump right into that. But right now, just I want to hear how you're fierce and how you are tender. And then we're going to hear your background and why you are speaking across the country and the globe.
I'm fierce because I'm not afraid to carry a torch for women that needs to be carried.
So you didn't march?
I did not. I marched in the March for Life.
Okay.
I marched in the March for Life.
As opposed to March for Our Lives?
No, March for Women. Women's March is what it's called. Well, I don't march in the Women's March.
You don't march in the Women's March. You did not wear that hat.
I do not wear those hats that we will not name, but you know the hats that I'm talking about. I do not wear those hats, but I'm fierce because I want to carry that torch, that reality for women.
And how are you tender?
My goal is to just sit with these girls and just hear their hearts. Hearing their hearts is everything to me, hearing their stories.
So just listening to women.
Listening to them is everything.
Which, I'll be honest with you, is really hard to do.
It is really hard to do because women love sharing and they love just spilling
their
guts.
And a lot of it. And there's a lot of emotion. And I'll be very honest with you. When I'm hearing confessions and a woman comes in and she's offering her confession, it's long.
Yep. We love to share. We love to pour it out. We want, you know, we want to share everything. And so I think the Lord has given me that gift of being able to just sit and listen.
Wow. So what do you do? Do you have a counseling session? Or, I mean, tell me about this listening.
It's more, I would call it guidance. I'm not, you know, trained in counseling or anything like that.
But do you actually... Guidance,
I do give them guidance.
No, but do you actually have appointments and people come in and be like...
Mostly it was my email inbox for a long time. And then it just got to be so many messages every day. I created a Facebook community where girls could come and ask their questions in a group of women who can give them solid advice. And I have some moderators in there who are women that I love and trust who've been involved in ministry who can guide them in that, because it's just my ministry has grown like out of my control. And
what
know,
is the Facebook
many.
Page for people to find
my
you?
My Facebook community is called We Are the Brave. And it's mostly girls in high school and college who are seeking to live their faith and encourage one another in that.
Okay, so We Are the Brave,
we
Facebook
are the brave.
Community.
Uh-huh.
EmilyWilsonMinistries.com is where you can find her.
Mm-hmm.
And now let's find out who she actually is, besides a fierce and gentle preacher of true femininity.
Who am I?
Who are
That's
you?
That's the question.
You're from LA.
I was born and raised in Los Angeles.
Okay.
I lived there for a very long time. I went to Arizona State University. As I said, I got a degree in broadcast journalism.
Okay.
So I learned to tell stories. I learned to organize my thoughts. And Jesus wanted me to, tell stories and stand up with microphones, not
in
on the news.
Your family growing up, were you Catholic? Or
we were raised Catholic. My mom converted to Catholicism when she was 6 months pregnant with me.
Uh-oh.
And I've never been able to find someone else who was in their mother's womb when she came into the Catholic Church. So
wow.
If anyone is out there, they can write that we kind of received her sacraments together.
Well, yeah, you kind of, wow, because
isn't that crazy?
She received communion and so did you.
Yes,
for the
and
first
her confirmation.
Time.
I was right there when she received her confirmation.
Okay, and so like you're a family of how many people?
There's six of us. There's four children and my mom and my dad, and they raised us just loving the Catholic faith, but it was a very real, real faith.
Wait a minute, in LA?
Yeah,
how is that
right?
Real? How's anything real in LA?
Right? It's pretty fakey. But my parents made that choice to have our domestic church at home, and we could ask questions. Why do we do this? You know, it was never just because.
So you went to church on Sundays?
I've gone to church every Sunday for my whole entire life.
And did it stick with you, or did you?
I never veered off. It was never something I did.
That's pretty gross.
Every
in a Christian
day,
way.
For the rest of my whole life, unless I was very sick, I've been to Mass every Sunday for my whole life.
I mean, and okay, so are you kind of like this perfect family because it sounds it and it makes me sick?
We're not perfect.
In a Christian way.
At all. We are beautifully imperfect.
Yeah, but like, listen, you just told us you dropped the bomb on us about your brother.
Yes, my brother. My brother is, oh my gosh, I'm so proud of him. My brother was just drafted to the New York Mets.
Yeah.
He is a great young man of virtue, of faith, of character. I'm so proud of who he is.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, you got a lot of things going for you.
Yes. We were just loved by my parents. None of us ever questioned if our parents loved us, mm-hmm. believed in us, or would do anything for us.
Wow.
I knew that about my mother and my father my whole entire life, and my siblings did as well, and that made us to who we are today. Those
okay.
three keys.
Okay, so there you go, three keys.
Yeah.
Now, you grew up then doing your thing as a Catholic, going to university in Arizona,
yeah.
wanting to be broadcast and journalist, yeah. and then all of a sudden, bam, you're preaching.
Mulier stignitatum.
And that was it.
That was the bam.
And so, like,
moment.
What did you do to get started? Because I think there are a lot of other people who yeah. would love to get started in yeah. speaking and ministry. How did you do that? Did you just like,
yeah.
hey, I want to talk about women and mm-hmm. hire me?
No. Certainly, my journey of faith was not perfect. It wasn't some, you know, perfect road. There was, you know, ups and downs and obstacles and things like that. But my goal was always to serve the Lord. I started singing in church when I was 7 years old, and I did that throughout my life.
Okay.
And then when I was 18 years old, I met a man named Ike Ndolo.
Ike
Ndolo, who he was the worship leader at the parish close by to a church.
Mm-hmm.
And I really struggled with my faith in college, with being bullied for my faith and people putting me down.
Did they really?
Oh my gosh, I really, really struggled with that in college. I mean, I was ostracized and outcast in
really?
Yeah, it was really, really hard.
By people who were supposed to be open-minded?
Yes, by people who claimed to be open-minded and people who even claimed to be my friends. I had some hard moments and hard seasons. But I met Ike. I started singing in church every Sunday. And when I was 18 years old, he said, I would love for you to come out on the road and come, you know, start singing with me at, you know, Steubenville conferences and retreats and things like that. And that's where it got started. And then obviously there's a need for female speakers, female, you know, fulfilling these roles in the Catholic Church. So it was kind of natural. People would say, hey, will you give a 5-minute talk on this? And since I was trained in broadcast journalism and, you know, had grown
up
in the Catholic Church.
You gave a 20-minute talk on it.
No, I try to stick to my time.
Yes, we all stick to our time zone. That,
right?
That time clock is shining on everybody.
Oh, yes, it's shining right in your face. But then I just really offered it to the Lord. I'm an introverted person. I would rather be sitting in the back with no one watching me.
And people are going to be like, right.
Yeah, right.
People, they say the same thing to me.
Right. People don't believe that. But really, I would so much rather be hiding in the back. But the Lord has really encouraged me and said, I chose you for this.
Okay.
I
so
really
your ministries, tell us about all that you're doing in EmilyWilsonMinistries.com.
Uh-huh.
What do you do?
Play music. I speak.
What do you play?
I play the piano and
okay.
I sing, which has been a huge part of my faith, part of my life that I've really enjoyed. And then YouTube is a lot of my ministry, as you know.
Actually, I stink at YouTube.
Do you really?
Yeah, I mean, I actually just rebranded the whole thing, and I'm trying to get all the stupid corny videos out there. But what do you
okay.
do?
Do
you teach people how to put makeup on and stuff?
No, oh my gosh, no. I wanted to stay away from that. Girls, they send questions, and then I answer those questions.
Oh, nice.
So they'll, you know, a real life topic of girls who ask, what is wrong with me when guys aren't asking them on dates? Like, right? What am I doing wrong? What is wrong with me?
So now, are you upfront with women, though?
Yes.
Are you really honest with them? Because
absolutely. And that's why they like it. Right?
So are you telling them they're kind of like whiners sometimes when they are whiners?
Yes,
and
I am totally real with them 100% of the time. And they know that they can count on me for that. They know that I'm not going to offer them fluff, that I'm going to really sometimes give them really tough love.
Have they kind of walked away from you?
Not really.
Wow.
Yeah, they stick around and they, as much as they say, it's hard for me to hear this, right? The girls will say, man, that was the reality check that I needed. It was so hard to hear. And I rejected that message at first, but I see what you're talking about and now I get it.
Are you preaching to the choir? There's a bunch of homeschooled children or something?
No, I've got girls of all different kinds of faiths. There are girls who watch my videos who say, I don't believe in anything at all, but I love your message and it really resonates with me. And I've got girls all over the world. We're girls in Cambodia, in Malta, in India, all over the place. And it's so cool to know, like, be connected with all of them.
Hmm. Okay, so first of all, if you haven't met Emily Wilson, you need to. She's fantastic
You're
at what
kind.
She does. I'm not blowing smoke up your dress here. I'm just being very honest.
Thank
you wouldn't
you.
Be asked to do these things if you weren't good at
Thank
it.
Thank you.
But at the same time, you are a person, and I hate to say this, and don't take it wrong, but you're a person of privilege. You know, you are, you're gifted in a whole bunch of different ways.
Absolutely.
You've been raised well,
in a beautiful, loving family.
It's like,
yeah.
How do you respond to people who haven't been raised with such privilege and blessings.
Absolutely. That's absolutely true. It's been a very unique experience to come with my privilege and the life that the Lord has given me. But that listening has come into play very, very much.
Yeah.
Because I've been listening to young women for years and being able to identify with them and put myself in their shoes and really listen to their hearts has helped me to understand where, you know, 1,000 different women could be coming from. Maybe I can't commiserate with them, right? I can have empathy toward their situation. I don't exactly know what it's like to stand in their shoes and be in their situation. But I think when we have the heart of Jesus Christ, we can be there for that person. We can sit there with them and understand where they're coming from, not maybe sitting in our own shoes, but we can give them the heart of Jesus, and the heart of Jesus understands all things and all situations.
That's beautiful.
So that listening has been key to understanding that.
So besides the Facebook page, the YouTube channel, you're speaking, you're also an author. Tell me about your book.
Yes, my first book was called I Choose the Sky. That's about 17 women in scripture and what we can learn from their lives and their decisions and their encounters with Jesus.
Nice.
Women ask me all the time, where are the girls in the Bible? We hear about Noah, Abraham, blah, 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 blah. Where are the girls? So I decided to find
Bloody
the girls.
Bloody Bloody Blah actually a
not
name?
A character. Maybe okay. I should name my son Bloody Bloody Blah. That's a good biblical name that hasn't been used yet.
Okay.
But where are the girls in the Bible? So I unearthed them and made it so that girls could see the way that woman could have, like, you know, reflect on that woman's life, how that can change their lives.
Who is your favorite woman Bible person besides the Blessed Mother?
Esther.
Esther. She's pretty kick.
Talk about fierce.
Yeah, she is pretty fierce.
Yeah, she's pretty awesome. And my second book is called Go Bravely. It's about 20 ways that young women can incorporate their faith into their everyday lives as a young modern woman in a normal, relatable, real way.
So now your ministry really is, quote unquote, a business, and the business is to proclaim the good news. What are you doing to combat modern feminism, because it's really confusing to a lot of people.
It is confusing to people, and I just gave a talk on that not, you know, 2 hours ago.
Well, then you should know how to answer this question.
Yeah, totally. Men and women the world is telling young women that men and women are the same. We know as Christians, as Catholics, as people who believe in the Lord and his design, that men and women are not the same. We are complementary.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting women to understand that we are complementary, that we each bring unique gifts to the world that are necessary and good and beautiful, and that one is not superior to the other. But when we as women let men be men,
mm-hmm.
we are living out our femininity, right? I talk to the girls about my rule in life that I have to accept chivalry at all times.
Sure.
That if a man offers his masculinity, chivalry, whatever it is, carrying my bag, taking out my trash, whatever, I have to accept it.
Wait, what? What's going on here?
And in taking out the trash, my neighbor offered that recently.
But the whole thing is, like, what about feminine, you know, equal rights? Like, I take my own trash out.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I'm teaching women. Can I take my own trash out? Yeah, absolutely. But in that moment, when that man offers me his masculinity, his chivalry in that moment,
mm-hmm.
am I weak for accepting it? No, I'm just letting him be a man. So I think that's a beautiful thing to teach these young women. And I've heard from them all day long to say, I never really thought about it that way. Like, I want to encourage men and empower men and support men in being men. And I said, okay, then accept their chivalry.
You really sound traditional.
Yeah, I know, right? Traditional is good. Our whole culture has been based on this tradition of letting men be men and letting women be women. And that's the way the world is supposed to work.
Okay, so what are the big challenges you think in the modern feminist movement?
Oh my gosh. Well, the first thing is telling women that they're just like men and they should be.
Okay.
And that's
yeah, I do find it kind of odd that in order for a woman to prove she's a strong person, she has to compete against a man.
Exactly.
It's kind of weird.
No, and I tell the girls, you know, that our nurturing tenderness as women is not some weak thing, right? You see a mom with 8 kids. She ain't no weak woman.
No,
right?
Holy cow.
Yeah, exactly. She's offering that tenderness and that love and that nurturing power that she has as a woman. And that's a strong thing. And that's a good thing. And that's a beautiful thing. But do we as women have to be wives and mothers to live out like the pinnacle of our femininity? No. We bring our feminine strength as attorneys, as scientists, as fashion designers, as teachers, all of those different kinds of things.
What do you say about, hey, but there's no women in leaderships in church?
There are so many women in leadership in church. Just go to your local parish and see what
all the women are
doing. There. It's incredible.
Yeah,
right?
I got to basically pay attention to what the secretary tells me to do.
Exactly. That, you know, and just read John Paul II's letter to women, right?
Mm-hmm.
You want to know what the church teaches and thinks about women. John Paul's letter to women is a beautiful thing. And where, you know, and that's a problem. People only see their parish. And if there's not women leading in their parish, they think, oh, there's no women leading anywhere. The Catholic Church is all over the planet.
So right? what do you say? That why can't women become priests?
Well, I mean, that's a whole nother discussion for another day. But Jesus,
well, okay, fine, like, I'll have you on again.
Yeah, Jesus in his institution of the priesthood, mm-hmm. what, like, Jesus in his masculinity.
And here's why I'm saying it is because women who are hearing this are definitely asking the question, you know, granted you're talking about the power of women, but until we get women in positions of leadership like the priesthood, like in the presidency, then women are always going to be second-class citizens. And I just kind of want to hear it from a woman.
I don't believe that women are second-class citizens because they haven't been the president or they can't be priests. I don't think that's true at any rate whatsoever. I think that if you really look out into the world, you can see a lot of women with a lot of power doing a lot of beautiful things, mm-hmm. and that's good. And we can't, like, say, oh, that's not good enough. Until a woman becomes the president, it's never going to be good enough. I'm okay with just watching the women in the world around me who nurture people, who love people, and who don't have to have some platform in order to do that, who don't have to be recognized in order to do that, but who love the people right in front of them.
So nurturing is a quality. I've heard it from you a few times.
Yeah.
Just this gentleness, this kindness, this loving, unconditional loving, mm-hmm. bringing life into the world, nurturing. What about women who are like, I'm just not a mom type?
That's okay. I think, you know, I asked the girls earlier today, raise your hand if you like taking care of stuff, whether that's your pet, whether mm-hmm. that's a plant,
yep.
whether that's people. All women have an inherent desire to take care of things. Mm-hmm. That's not necessarily meaning that they're going to be a mother. There's a lot of women who are never going to become mothers, and
sure.
that's okay. Motherhood is not the pinnacle of femininity. But we as women love taking care of things, and when we recognize that, we can offer that to the world to cherish, as Edith Stein said, to cherish and guard and protect is our natural maternal yearning. But maternal doesn't necessarily mean motherly, mm-hmm. but it means that desire to take care.
What are the big challenges that women are facing right now when it comes to beauty? You mentioned that at one point, just about the beauty of women, and that is a strength.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about the challenges to understand beauty, and how do you kind of deal with all those challenges?
Right, that beauty doesn't define us. My identity is not in my outward appearance, but it is in the heart, the soul.
Wait a minute, though, but I mean, it kind of has to be part of it. Like,
right, and I tell the girls, I say, I'm not saying, you know, dress all frumpy and don't, you know, put on any makeup, right?
Yeah.
How will you ever find a husband if you're just, you know, Mrs. Frumpy and you don't care at all? You don't mm-hmm. put any effort into that. It's important to put effort into our appearance, but not to find our identity in our appearance.
I mean, there's a... I was watching these, not like in a creepy way,
okay.
but I was watching these teenage girls trying to look casual, okay. and it took them like 20 minutes to look casual.
Okay.
What's
yep.
up with that?
It's natural normal. They do their messy bun, right? You take your messy bun, but it takes you like 20 minutes to do your messy bun to just get it just messy enough.
Exactly.
That's just who we are as women. It's who we'll always be.
Do you like
right?
that? Is that something you kind of encourage to be like, oh, you can be girly girl?
Yes, I think it's good to be a girly girl, but I tell them, if you're into hunting and fishing and you don't like wearing makeup, you're no less of a woman than the woman who's spending an hour doing her makeup, right? Authentic femininity comes in all shapes and sizes and appearances and everything.
Sarah
Palin. And that's good to be embraced.
Sarah Palin. She was a beautiful woman.
Yes, she was.
And she was a tough little
cookie.
She
was a tough cookie.
She is a tough cookie.
She is, for sure.
So who would be some images of good modern day women that you could say, I look to them and say,
goodness.
Besides all of the speakers here at Steubenville who are
right.
women, and I'm so glad there are more women speaking.
Yes, absolutely.
Who would be some of those
people? That's
a great
question. Most of the people I look to are long passed away.
Like who?
Edith Stein is my girl, right? St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross.
She was a nun.
She was a nun, but she was not a nun. She wasn't born a nun.
Sure.
So when she was giving these symposiums, Essays on Women, mm-hmm. Edith Stein's Essays on Women transformed my whole entire life. And she wasn't a nun then. This is when she was just a teacher.
Sure.
And I think every woman should read Edith Stein's Essays on Women.
She's pretty fantastic.
Yeah. So I look to women like this. I mean, sad to say, there's like, I look to, you know, people like Leah Darrow, people like Jackie Francois, these women who are living authentic femininity are the women I look to in life because in our culture, there is not that many women to look up to because most of the women that we see in our world today who are on pedestals, who are public figures, are women who have given into the feminist movement, who are preaching something that I don't agree with for women whatsoever.
Okay, let's just, what comes to your mind when I say women and sexuality?
That's a good God-given thing, that we as women possess our sexuality and we can live that out in a healthy, beautiful way that God designed us for. That sexuality for women has been convoluted in our society to be, you know, what we can give and what we can do, you know, just sex alone. But women, like, our sexuality is a good and beautiful thing that God gave us that we can learn to live out in the proper way with the proper guidance.
Okay, women in politics.
Women in politics, that's really interesting. I try and, you know, stay in the politics as much as possible.
It's impossible.
But women, we need women in politics because that complementarity is very important mm-hmm. for a society that functions as it's designed to function, right? With that complementarity. So I think women are very important in the political world.
All right. And then you, as I'm interviewing you now, you are pregnant.
I sure am.
With your first child.
Yep, my first child.
I didn't even know you were pregnant.
Yeah, I'm so glad because most people say, wow, you're so big. And I love that you didn't know.
I did not. I mean, I wasn't looking there.
That's true.
Number one. But,
that's fair enough.
But what's it like?
It's been crazy. To feel a person moving inside of your
body
is... That
would be creepy. I mean, because I felt my tacos this afternoon
moving around in there. Yeah, it's been a huge gift. And people say, like, how has the spirituality of motherhood, like, transformed your life? I have seen masculinity and femininity in a new way because I was so, so sick for the first, like, 13 weeks. And there was nothing my husband could do. My body had to nurture this child and grow this child. And my husband could love me and support me and say, you're doing a great job and all these different kinds of things. But, like, my femininity, you know, I had to embrace that and just be like, hey, I got to do this right now. My husband's going to support me. And when I go into labor, he's going to be standing there holding my hand, but I'm the one who has to do all
this. Your husband came from
the
Netherlands.
Yes.
And you met him in a church in the Netherlands.
Uh-huh.
And you posted a picture of him during one of your talks. And all of us who were kind of listening to your talk and watching, we all were like, ugh.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a little too good looking
sometimes.
For us, you know?
Yes, but you should get to know his heart.
But you guys are kind of perfect.
Well, that's what people say from the outside, right?
But
it's
you guys
like
even,
Ken and
but
Barbie.
You, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
But you even practice like serious chastity prior to your marriage.
Yes, which is, you know, something that a lot of people like are surprised to hear.
Is this real?
Right? People say that. Like, you know, people look at me, you know, with my appearance and they think, you know, I was a party girl in college. I was a cheerleader. You can't judge a book by its cover.
Nice.
Right? And that, like, Daniel and I, people say, oh, you're so perfect, this and that. Get to know our hearts, mm-hmm. right? Every single person, you should get to know their hearts, get past the outward appearance to, you know, my husband and see that he's such a good man. He's such a loving man.
And he's got muscles, too, by the way.
Yes, and he's fit. And I love the example that he can provide for young Catholic men.
Sure.
That you don't have to be some weirdo if you're a young Catholic man. You can be into fitness. You can be into surfing. You can be into all these different kinds of things. Into, you know, looking good, presenting yourself well as a man, and be a Catholic person who loves the Lord.
What's next for EmilyWilsonMinistries.com?
Oh, well, having a baby, I suppose. A couple of conferences.
Is that going to kind of affect all of you, what you're doing?
I'll be traveling 2 times a month next year.
Only two times a month.
And, yeah, right now it's been like 6 and 7.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be scaled way down. I'll be taking my son with me. Catholic events are a great place to bring your children because
sure.
who doesn't want to hold babies at Catholic events? There's
Let
all
me
these
tell
women.
You, I'm going to be traveling with Leah Darrow
yeah!
on a pilgrimage on a theology of beauty. And
with Little Victory.
Little Victory. He's only going to be like 6 weeks old.
Yes.
It's
oh going to
be
gosh.
Crazy. I'm going to play Uncle Leo.
Are you into holding babies? Is that something you feel comfortable with?
Dude, I am an awesome uncle. Let's just put it that way.
I love to hear that.
And if that baby has, I mean, I saw the baby. He's kind of got chunky cheeks.
Yes.
So I'm going to be chewing on those cheeks
Good.
For a while.
Oh, my gosh.
No doubt
Squeezing
about it.
He's a very, very cute baby.
That's a cute kid.
Uh-huh.
And so for you, you're going to have a baby, mm-hmm. but how is Emily Wilson Ministries going to evolve? And as a mom, is it going to kind of challenge your ability to reach out to single women?
That's a lot of girls said, hey, like you announced your pregnancy and I feel like you're not going to be able to speak to me anymore. You know, and girls who say, how could you give a talk for single women? Guess what? I wasn't born married
mm-hmm.
and I wasn't born with a child.
Mm-hmm.
So I have all those experiences in high school and college that aren't just going to disappear
sure.
because I have a child, that I'm still able to speak to those things.
Sure.
Whether or not I have a child, whether or not I'm married, womanhood is just straight up womanhood,
awesome.
Right? And we all go through all these different kinds of things, whether we're wives, mothers, attorneys, scientists, fashion designers, whatever. That these themes of womanhood are forever, are perpetual. And I will be just continue to speak to that. In
final,
my ministry.
Final question. You're talking to a priest. How can I be a good priest for women? What can I be doing to kind of help promote your ministries and your mission to women?
That's a great question. First, listen to them, what you said you try to do.
As hard as it is.
Yes.
I'm a celibate for a reason.
Yes, exactly. Wives are not easy people. But to listen and then to not be afraid to give them tough love.
Okay.
Right? to say, as your brother in Christ, right? As your father, right? As Father Leo, I'm going to give you some tough love right now. And you might not want to hear it, but that you probably need to hear it if the Lord convicts you. Like, you got to say this to this woman right now. Don't be afraid to give them tough love, because sometimes it's so gently, like, oh, you're so beautiful. You're so, like, sometimes they need that boost. So don't be afraid to give them, to convict their hearts in the loving and tender way that Jesus did for all kinds of women in the Bible, right?
Right. And this
is a sinful woman.
This conversation was from a woman who, before I put the microphone in front of her, said, I have nothing to say.
Tim's witness.
That's right. And 30 minutes later, I have just gotten a heart full of love for women, especially through your work. So Emily WilsonMinistries.com is where you can find her. Yep. And the Facebook page again is?
We Are The Brave. That's my Facebook community if you want to join.
Facebook community, yeah. We Are The Brave. Mm-hmm. And so to learn more about her, just go to her website. And it's a pleasure to have this conversation with you. There are very few women that I actually interview because they just don't want to talk.
Interesting.
It is interesting.
Which is funny. That's the one time they don't want to talk.
Exactly. As soon as you put a microphone. Exactly. So that's going to be my secret.
There you go.
As soon as they want to talk, I want to put a microphone in front of them.
Just stick it right there.
There you go. So, ladies and gentlemen, we hope you enjoyed this deep dish discussion, learning from leftovers here on Shoot the Shiitake with Emily Wilson Ministries.com. And between now and the next time we shoot the shiitake, stay hungry.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Emily Wilson, and stick around for the carry out order. And why I love doing these interviews is because it gives me perspective on other people's opinions, which is exactly what I did in my book, Spicing Up Married Life, which you can get at shop.fatherleofeeds.com. In this book, Spicing Up Married Life, I try to get rid of anniversaries, these annual celebrations, and encourage monthiversaries, monthly dinner dates. And to do this book, it took a ton of research, including interviews with men and women about their understanding of marriage, and I try to compile that with all the questions they have about the Catholic Church's teachings on marriage, and I write this book so that in every month, in every chapter, you can discuss a bite-sizable theological message about marriage in a practical way around the dinner table, questions to encourage conversation and deeper conversion, and even ways for couples to pray together. So if you want this book, Spicing Up Married Life, simply go to shop.fatherleofeeds.com and spice up your married life. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, and get ready for this carry-out order, because I learned a tremendous amount. When I listened to this interview again with Emily Wilson, there were several things that kind of came to my mind, and I'm just kind of going to get to the point here. Women are amazing. That's just the first thing that I wanted to say. You know, hearing this young woman and just watching her really command a crowd, you know, of both women and men. Now, granted, she does appeal to a ton of women, and there may be some guys who just don't quite get what she has to say because, frankly, they need to grow the faith up. That's just all there is to it, because she teaches me how to be a man. In fact, that is one of the greatest things about the Catholic Church's understanding of women, that they are complementary. They are not competition for men. They help to, in a way, I hate to say this, sounds like the Jerry Maguire movie, you complete me. In a way, that's exactly what God intended, for women to complement in order to bring about a completion of what God's love is all about. Now, there are going to be some people who think, oh yeah, but she's just been brainwashed because she's just a Catholic speaker. And so, you know, the church is just filled with just a bunch of men and it's all patriarchal. And you heard Emily. She said it very clearly. You know, it's like, are you kidding me? Women are not only celebrated, they are honored. In fact, in the one document written by St. John Paul II, Mulieris Dignitatem, he basically calls women geniuses. And I think one of the reasons why, and of course the Holy Father elaborates a lot better and a lot more holy, he's a saint for God's sakes, it's because he knows that women, only women, can do something that no one else can do. And you know what that is? Bring life into the world. Now, there's this whole notion that, oh gosh, women have got to be more than just children bearers. Well,
somebody's got to do it. I mean, number one, somebody's got to bring children into this world. And if you think that that is just some like slave's task, you are wrong. Have you ever met a husband who truly loves his wife? And while he's not going through the pain of childbirth, he is right there with her. He can't do that. He really can't. But I know when my brother had his 6 kids, he was like, if I could take away my wife's pain, I would. You know, sorry that God made us differently, or that we are created differently, or, ready for this, if you don't even want to believe in God, that we are different. I mean, we just are different. And therefore, this idea of competition is stupid. Why can't we just be complementary to each other? But I can understand why a lot of feminists are basically upset with the Catholic Church, because they're approaching the Catholic Church in a sociological and only biological way. You can't look at the church just through the lens of what society says or what biology says or what psychology says, because the church is primarily a theological institution. And that's a big struggle. People just are not theological, which is why when Emily Wilson speaks, she speaks as what I would call a true feminist. You know, in today's world, feminism almost looks like, and by the way, I really want to interview a hardcore feminist, like someone who just hates men, so that if you know of any feminist who just is to the point where she hates men, I want to interview her, or even a him, because I know some males who are so deep into this false understanding of feminism. I'll interview you too. I'd be very happy to. But I think one of the big struggles with the feminist movement of modern day is, you know, at one point it was, I am woman, hear me roar. Now there's this movement, I am woman, hear me purr. I think one of the big struggles with feminism is that they think they have to compete with men. So in order for them to have any validity, they have to act like men. And that just seems just absurd. It actually totally negates what feminism is. You are different from men. So let's make sure we understand complementarity, because if not, it'll be competition. Let's also look at structures and institutions. So we get criticized in the Catholic Church for just being all patriarchal. But factually speaking, if you were to take a look at us, that is not true at all. The first saint to say yes to Jesus was Mary. She's a woman. The first person to recognize the risen Christ is a woman. We celebrate that. We actually have a ton of female feast days. Now, you'll say, oh, but the Catholic Church doesn't ordain women. And boy, wouldn't the church be just so much better if it did? Well, I'm not here to criticize any of my non-Catholic Christian brothers and sisters, but the religious groups that do ordain women, they're not better off with vocations, folks. You just have to look at that statistic. Ordaining women hasn't helped their church at all. And in fact, in a way, it kind of confused something. And what did it confuse? It confused the theology of the priesthood. You see, in the priesthood, we have a great blessing. We know the difference between ordained priesthood and the priesthood of the baptized. And we in the Catholic Church may need to do a better job of speaking about that, because the greater dignity is in the theology of the baptized people. That is the most important thing. The ordination of the priesthood should not be treated like a coronation, where as soon as a guy becomes a priest, he becomes the biggest authority in your parish. That's not true. And maybe we as a Catholic priesthood need to show that we have been ordained to be servants of the bride, who is the church. You know, our job is to truly be the custodians of the faith. Yep, which sometimes means we got to mop up the floors, fellas. We got to do the dishes like a custodian would. But we are also administrators to the faith, which means our job is to protect the content of the church, to literally be, in a sense, a soldier protecting the contents, the sacred content of the church. And who is that? Well, it was embodied in a person called Mary, embodied in a person called Mother Church. So in a way, our job is to protect the church and
this is where a lot of people are going to get angry because, look, I love me some Wonder Woman. You know, between now and then, there is not an elite group of women soldiers who are going to fight. But, you know, please, let's not get there. The real reason why priests are men is because Jesus was physically a man. He wanted to continue the plan of his presence in the world, and that is a man. If Jesus was a woman, then we would have a priesthood of women. You know, this is where a lot of people struggle because they say, oh, but Jesus was just patriarchal too. Kind of no. I mean, kind of not. That's just not true. He even had women in his company. He did things that were very countercultural, but he didn't do something that was not biological because biology was created by theology. And so this idea of Jesus just prolonging his presence in the world is why we have a male priesthood. And it's also his job to show the Father's love. Jesus reveals God as Father, and therefore a father has to be a man. In today's world, it's very confused because we're starting to approach all things only through a biological and sociological lens. We have to approach it with a theological lens. And in theology, there is a complementary, different role between woman and man. That doesn't make us evil. It just makes us Catholic. And it would be no different from saying to, say, like, Apple computers, hey, Apple, you know what? This store is selling both Apple and IBM. Therefore, you, Apple, you need to sell IBM too. We would just look at that and think, no, we're not doing that because we're Apple. We're a different, quote-unquote, company altogether. We have a different mission. And, you know, in the Catholic Church, we understood very well why Jesus wanted to really promote the image of a loving father. And here's why. Because in a Jewish home in which Jesus grew up, he was raised by a mother, and the father was seen as a disciplinarian. The father was seen as, in a sense, kind of separated and kind of distant. Why? Because he wasn't mean. It was because he just had work to do. And so as he was going out to work, who was forming and raising the children? That would be the mother. And therefore, in a sense, if you were a little Jewish boy, how would you know really the father's love as merciful? You see, I was told by a scripture scholar that in that passage of the prodigal son, that was actually a midrash, upside down story. When I say midrash, it's a form of storytelling to help Jewish people remember accounts of the Bible or accounts of morals. It would be kind of like fables for us that have like a little moral twist to it all. Well, in Jesus's time, people were so attuned to that story, the prodigal father, or the prodigal son, really, because that's not how it would be normally. If there was a kid who took the inheritance and squandered it and came back, you know, in the Jewish tradition, that father would say, you, son, are dead to me now. Get the heaven out of my face. You are literally korban. You are dead to me. That's kind of how it was. And so when Jesus picks an all-male priesthood to reveal the Father's love as Jesus himself revealed it, it was to show a more tender side to the Father, a loving in a, I don't even have to say it otherwise, but a gentler side. But they only got gentle sides from the mother, in a sense. And so there is a complementary role in the masculinity that Jesus is trying to develop in an all-male priesthood. Okay, so that's that. And I think the other final thing that I want to take away in my carry-out order is this understanding that the church isn't fair to not ordain women as priests because everybody else is. I kind of mentioned it. You can't look at the church through the lens of sociology or just simply biological or psychological understandings. It is primarily a theological thing. You know, Emily shared a lot about what women go through. And this is kind of what I get in my final carry-out order. As a man, I have to begin to understand as best as I can what women go through. And the best way to do it, guys, is just to let her speak.
Let her speak. I mean, please, women, don't hate me when I say this. You all talk a lot. I mean, you really do talk a lot. My mom talks a lot. My sisters talk a lot more. The guys just don't talk as much. It's just not part of our wheelhouse. But I know that I've got to learn how to just listen and just allow that to happen. You know, when I hear confessions and I smell perfume, I know that it's going to be a woman or just a very effeminate man. But I also kind of brace myself because I know that I'm not going to hear her confession. I'm going to hear everyone else's confession. And then she's going to get to her point about how all these people hurt her. But yet she is like valiant in her faith. And I'll say, well, have you criticized them? Have you kind of like not forgiven them? Do you gossip? Oh, the gossip part. Yeah, women do a lot of that. You know, and I'm just talking about what I hear in confession simply because women talk a lot. And that is not easy for guys to endure because we just want to be in a way left alone. That's the difference. That's the complementarity. And so here's my carryout order. I just got to listen to women more. I have to be willing to be patient just to listen to them. Why? Because I believe that the measure with which I give will be the measure given back to me. And they teach me something. You know what I need to do? Talk a little bit more. Not necessarily on this show, but to talk to God more as his beloved. And I do know that God listens to me, even if I sound like a whining, complaining person. I didn't say woman, but just as a complainer, God listens to me. And therefore, that's my job, to listen back. And that's not an easy thing to do, which is why that is my carry out order, to make sure that we show the dignity of a woman, especially in their Catholic Church, as truly brave and brave geniuses and women who can only do what God does, bringing life into this world. She feeds children naturally. But women aren't just biological baby makers. They provide for us and they provide for me an understanding of gentleness and gentle quality. You see, I am only going to be a loving father, and I am only going to represent God as a loving father and Jesus as my brother only if I am willing to do what my mother taught me to do. That is the key. And the final thing that I just want to share with you is that women are not competing against men. They are not competing, but we do have to compete to become better listeners altogether. So that's my carryout order this week, and I hope you enjoyed this show. Again, that the interview part is what our premium sponsors get each week. Thank you for your support. With just $10 or more, I send you extra content that is specifically Catholic. And so I'd love to encourage all of you to be a part of the Shoot the Shiitake movement. Get this extra content, and I hope you enjoyed this one. But between now and the next time we talk, I just simply have to say, stay hungry. This episode of Shoot the Shiitake with Father Leo is brought to you by Catholic Speakers Organization. You can book your speakers, your presenters, and your musicians for all of your events. Just go to catholicspeakers.com. And if you want to book me, all you've got to do is go to fatherleofeeds.com. And we hope you enjoyed this episode. Please be sure to subscribe to this episode and to the podcast in general on any of your podcast platforms. Make sure that you share this message with all of your family, friends, and fellow parishioners. And please support us with just $10 each month or more. You'll get premium content to help get rid of all the bullshiitake in this world and bring about a greater conversion, one conversation at a time.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.